The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Owen O'Brien is with me in the meantime, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson. Owen, before we talk about housing, the reason that you are here, let me ask you about the presidential election and the decision by Sinn Féin to win behind Catherine Connolly. Could you find nobody else in the party?
We could. In fact, there's a long list of very credible candidates. But no, given that we've been putting a huge amount of our energy into building an effective combined opposition to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in the Dáil, I think it makes absolute sense for the progressive opposition to pull together behind one candidate. I'm somebody who has observed Catherine Connolly in housing debates in particular in my role over the years. And she's a person who I think has brought great passion to that issue. So I'm delighted. I've just come from a canvass. We were out canvassing in Melrose and Clondalkin earlier today. And I'm really looking forward to this campaign. People will have a clear choice. They will have a person who wants to be a president for all, supported by the combined progressive opposition, or they'll have a Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael candidate who are indistinguishable. And I think that's a really exciting prospect. So no, I think it's game on and I'm up for the campaign.
Hold on now. It's a bit of a kind of, I don't know what you describe it as, but to describe Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's candidate as indistinguishable when quite literally all the other parties at the left have rode in behind one candidate, it would just say you're far much more indistinguishable.
What's interesting
is their own candidates.
What's quite interesting is after the general election, Sinn Féin and the other left parties were criticised for not working together and offering people a credible, coherent alternative government. People were right. I think that was a criticism they made. If we all stood different candidates this time round, you could fragment the vote too much and reduce the chances of the person who I think is the best candidate in the field so far of winning. We are showing that we can put aside differences in policy detail, which are really matters for the Oireachtas, and we can combined campaign for and support a really strong candidate, on neutrality, on Gaza, on social justice, on housing, but also somebody who I think brings a composure, who brings a thoughtfulness to their performances in the Dáil, which I think is absolutely suitable to the role as president. So no, I'm genuinely excited about this.
So is this a dry run then for a kind of a united left tilt at power in the next general election, a progressive left alliance, the PLA?
So, I mean, typically speaking, of course, there's very little follow through from a presidential election to a general election. People vote differently.
Yeah.
But I do think if the combined opposition and the progressive opposition can demonstrate we can work together and help elect Catherine in her own right to the presidency, I think that is going to give people a sense that, you know what, the next election, which is a very different kind of election and people vote differently in general elections, we can do the same thing. We're actively building alliances in the Dáil. We're now actively building alliances on the ground in this, what's going to be a really powerful grassroots campaign.
You said something there. You said, setting aside policy differences, which are more of an issue when it comes to the Oireachtas, setting them aside is a much more difficult and complicated proposition in the context of a general election, isn't it?
It is, but the more you work together and the more you build relationships of trust between parties who share more than we disagree on. Parties, of course, that have different emphasis. I mean, for example, for us, we want Catherine to be a really strong progressive candidate, but also we want her to be raising the issue of a United Ireland, something she has already spoken on and rightly committed to do. But I think the sum is greater than our individual parts in this presidential campaign. Okay. I was a strong advocate in the Ard Cóirle meeting of this approach. And I think now it's up to us to convince the people she's the best person to be the next president of Ireland.
Well, we'll hear from all the candidates on the show and elsewhere in the station over the next few weeks and their supporters. We'll move on to housing for the moment because Minister of State Robert Troy was speaking this morning and he seemed to suggest that he had a preference for local authorities themselves giving preferential treatment to working people when it came to the allocation of social housing. Now, he has since clarified that and said he was absolutely not suggesting that people who can't work, people who have a disability, people who are caring for a family member or people who might be described as, you know, parents without access to childcare, people who can't work, essentially, that they wouldn't be bumped down the list, which I guess by the process of elimination means he was talking about people who can work but don't work. Seamus McGrath is with me, his Fianna Fáil colleague and the Fianna Fáil spokesperson on housing. Seamus, is that a fair reflection of party policy? Those who can work but don't should get pushed down the list.
Good evening, Kieran. Look, I think it's quite clear that Robert made a personal opinion He made a submission to a consultation process that was underway by Westmeath County Council. He's entitled to do that. We're a party where we encourage diversity of opinion. It's healthy to have debates and so on. But just to be clear, this isn't party policy. This isn't the minister's policy. It's not something we believe is workable. If you start making these distinctions, it gets very difficult, and we just don't believe it's something that can work. So I think Robert clarified to some extent this morning on the radio. But just to be clear, from our point of view, we are trying to increase housing supply, trying to, you know, escalate up supply levels so that we can meet the needs of everybody out there, whether they are working people or not. People have a housing need, and the government's job is to try and meet
the
need.
Isn't the elephant in the room, to a degree, the reality that so many working people are actually on social housing lists?
Well, absolutely, Kieran.
You shouldn't be having given preferential treatment one way or the other. If we had a functioning market, they'd be buying houses.
Yeah, look, no, I mean, you're correct. There are a lot of working people who find themselves not in a position to secure home ownership or indeed to secure rented accommodation. As a TD who's still relatively new, that is a point I've made over and over again. So there are a number of things I believe need to be done here. For example, I think the income limits to qualify for social housing needs to increase. That happened a number of years ago. I think it needs to be reviewed again. There's a growing cohort of people, I suppose, who don't qualify for social housing, but yet are not in a position to secure accommodation through their own means. And I think as a government...
Yeah, but you're talking about dealing with the symptoms there rather than the cause, aren't you? I mean, that would have more people joining social housing lists.
It would, and I don't see a problem with that, because we can't leave a cohort of people out there who aren't being supported through some mechanism of support from the state. So if you don't qualify for social housing...
But is it not a better reflection of the state's housing policy, regardless of whoever happens to be in government, that you actually have very small social housing lists, that actually you've got a functioning economy, that working people, that's what we're talking about, working people here, that working people can afford to put a roof over their head?
Well, traditionally, I suppose the needs of working people on lower and middle incomes would be met through an affordable housing scheme, for example, or through cost rental. And that's fine if you have enough of those housing numbers coming out. But unfortunately, we don't. So in my view, you can't leave a cohort of people that aren't being supported through the state. So I personally would argue that the social housing income limits need to increase so that people who are on low to moderate incomes do get some benefit through, for example, the housing assistance payment and so on. So we have to incentivize work. And I think that's the point that needs to be made. We all agree, I think, that we have to incentivize work. And if you work, it shouldn't mean that you lose benefits or that you lose, entitlements. And that's something the government needs to look at in the round in terms of taxation policy, social welfare policy and so on. But in terms of making a distinction for people in the social housing list, we simply don't believe that is workable. There are people on social welfare, for example, carers, people on invalidity pension, disability pension, lone parents and so on who don't have childcare provision. If you start trying to distinguish between those who have put their time down, who have waited their time on the list, there are many people who are on notice to quits, for example.
Let me go back to Owen O'Brien on some of those points. Owen, do you think we should have a weighted social housing list?
Well, first of all, you couldn't have it under the current legislation. What Robert Troy has proposed wouldn't be legal, and it would require the Minister for Housing to change the law to allow it. But also, what I think Robert has done is deeply divisive and actually quite dangerous, because...
He just expressed personal opinion, according to Seamus McGrath.
He did, and in doing so, he is setting to pit one group of people with a housing need against another. Social housing delivered by local authorities and approved housing bodies is for low-income single people and families, people who work full-time, part-time, or people who are out of work. And the housing is allocated on the basis of their housing need. The legislation allows for certain types of prioritisation in terms of overcrowding and disability and health, etc. But the idea that you would try and pit somebody who has a job against somebody who hasn't a job, when the real problem is the government's social and affordable housing targets are too low and they keep missing those targets every single year. I do agree with Michael. For example, there are three different bands for social housing eligibility. The third band, which covers most of the rural counties, is far too low and that needs to be raised. I also agree the state should be directly involved in the delivery of far greater volumes, not just of social, but affordable rental and affordable purchase homes. And here's the issue. The overwhelming majority of people today in social housing work, and they work damn hard. Are there people who are temporarily unemployed or long-term unemployed? Absolutely there are. Likewise, we don't have proper data for the people who are waiting for social housing, but huge numbers of them work. So this idea that social housing is for people who are unemployed isn't the case. When the state provided social housing at its best here, we did it for a very wide range of working people, as well as those out of work. The problem isn't that one group of people aren't being prioritised over another. The problem is Robert Troy and his colleagues in government have failed to deliver the volume of social and affordable homes that are required, and they've failed to activate the private sector to deliver the number of private homes at prices working people can buy. So let's stop this pitting one group of people against another, and let Fianna Fáil accept the failure of their housing plan and recognise until they ramp up the delivery of social affordable homes, this problem is going to continue.
I'm not going to kind of waste time asking whether you failed to hit targets. Everybody knows you failed to hit targets. You know, maths is maths. You can't deny it. When are you going to stop failing?
Well, Ciarán, as a government, we've set very ambitious targets. As you know, we intend to try and deliver 300,000 houses by 2030. And that's a very ambitious target. We're not under any illusions about that. But it's better to be ambitious and not to reach the target than to be under ambitious. And certainly we are putting every effort we can. We've seen, for example, the National Development Plan updated recently in terms of €102 billion will be spent between now and 2030, largely focused on trying to generate activity in the housing sector. It isn't just directly in relation to housing, but in relation to water investment, wastewater investment in our energy grid and so on. This is a complex challenge and it's going to require, you know, a multi-pronged approach.
So when?
We've also seen, for example, the
Missed targets last year. We're going to miss them this year. The importance are not great for the year after. The year after that, might we hit them? 2028, we're up to then, are we?
So the first half of this year, we've seen over 15,000 completions. That's up on previous years, for example. That's encouraging. We'll see what the end of the year.
Down on targets.
The targets we set as a government, we set them ourselves. We set them to aim high to try and deliver as many houses as possible. And as I say...
With all due respect now, Seamus, you didn't just set them to aim high and to be ambitious and to be able to go out and say, look at the ambitious targets they fit. You set them based on data that your own departments had collected and brought back to you that would suggest this is the amount of houses that we need to deal with the backlog of people in the system and the amount of people coming into the system. So they aren't plucked from thin air. So not hitting them just isn't a case of, well, listen, weren't we great to be ambitious all the same?
Yeah, well, look, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, there's no one saying we're great to be ambitious. We're setting targets because we believe they're realistic in the sense that they're the targets we need to try and reach in terms of meeting the demand that's out there. And I sit on the housing committee, as does Owen, and, you know, it's somewhere between 50 and 60,000 houses we need to be building per year to meet the kind of targets, to meet the kind of demand that is out there at present. We're not reaching that now. It's going to take us a number of years to reach that. We're being honest with people. The programme for government is ambitious in this, and obviously the higher number of delivery will come towards the end of government, because it takes time for the likes of the National Development Plan to have an impact, for example, the huge amount of capital investment. More than one in every €3 spent on capital investment in this country is now spent on housing. You know, there are plenty other demands, education, health and so on, but we're prioritising housing. It is the number one priority of this government. You know, the Taoiseach, the Minister, everybody is quite clear on that. But it takes time to scale up. 5 years ago, Ciarán, we were building 20,000 houses. Yeah. We're now at over 30,000 houses. You go back further, you go back 10 years, we were building 12,000 houses. So it is being scaled up, but nobody in the Dáil, opposition or in government, can tell us how we get to 50,000 houses next year.
Seamus McGrath, Fianna Fáil spokesperson on housing, TD for Cork South Central, owner Brian Sinn Féin, spokesperson on housing as well, TD for Dublin West. Thank you both. This listener says, I have to say, although I'm from Mullingar, I have rarely given Robert Troy a vote, but I definitely would after his comments today. People who can work and don't bother, it shouldn't be high up on the housing list. Why should them? Sick and tired of all this PC nonsense, they say. It needs to stop. I'm not defending people who can work and don't, but I would say this, and I always say it, and people go mental when I say it, they're not that many. There's not that many people who fall into that category. We're essentially at full employment, and we have been for a few years in that in this country. So the idea that there's great swathes of people kind of on the pig's back because they're in receipt of social welfare, getting free everything. I mean, it's just... Anyway, I'm not going to finish that sentence for want of criticising or indeed insulting a texter. Thank you for the text.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.